This is a Triple J podcast.
Hey, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hack's Deep Dive, and we're going to step into the kitchen for this one and talk about abuse, harassment in hospo. Because you might have seen the news recently that one of the world's top chefs from Noma, which is a fancy restaurant in Copenhagen, was hit with multiple allegations of physical and psychological abuse. Now, that got us thinking, what's life like for Aussie hospo workers? If you work in hospo, then chances are you've had to deal with a rude or even abusive customer, someone who decides to take all their anger out on you. But what if it's your colleagues that are toxic?
It's like, you piece of shit, you are ugly, you didn't do this thing right.
In a bit, you're going to hear from the union representing hospo workers.
What we have in Australia is a normalisation of exploitation of Australian young people, especially in their first jobs.
And someone who runs a counselling service for hospitality workers.
We're getting a younger generation of people coming through the industry that are a lot more like staunch and strong in their voices, which is such a beautiful thing. And they're feeling a lot more comfortable speaking up when something doesn't feel right.
But first, Ariana Lucente has been speaking to Aussie hospo workers. And just a heads up, you're going to hear some pretty heavy stuff in this.
You shouldn't have to feel like going to work is a live or die situation because you screw up someone's coffee.
Dee is a barista in Melbourne.
I have worked in multiple cafes. I've worked fine dining.
She says
the pressures
in those jobs makes everything feel like life or death. So why do some people compare working in kitchens or restaurants to working in an emergency department?
You're grilling this, you're putting things in the oven.
Everything's like loud, there's big lights, there's dinging.
Service for table 10, this one needs to go out.
Juggling so many priorities in your head.
Fred Bartolona is a chef at his own Filipino restaurant, Palai, in Melbourne. He started chef training at 15, so he's used to people yelling in kitchens. But he says there's a difference between yelling for urgency or attention versus full-on verbal abuse.
It's like, you piece of shit, you are ugly. You didn't do this thing right.
I spoke to a bunch of chefs and hospo workers across Melbourne, and they all say abuse in the industry is prevalent. A 2022 study from the University of Queensland found that of 400 workers surveyed, 60% had experienced sexual harassment, verbal and psychological bullying, or racial abuse. So what have Fred and Dee seen?
First time I sort of injured myself in a kitchen, I piped up and asked for advice on what to do, and they let me go from a job and said if I'd said anything, they'd sue me.
This is one of Dee's early experiences, but it's a long list for both of them, including sexual harassment.
That sous chef in particular, he kept on insisting, so are you like gay?
Racism.
His skin color is brown. He probably can't speak English.
Dodgy pay arrangements.
$14, $13 an hour because you're signed up to do an apprenticeship.
And threats around visa sponsorships.
One of the managers, she basically said to me, jokingly, I own everything here, including you.
Fred is from the Philippines and says he ended up getting his Australian visa sponsored by a different employer. But he says that kind of dynamic is common.
And it's very subtle sometimes. You always think a survival is important when you're a migrant, but it does take a toll.
Dee has caught physical abuse from customers, staff, and even her boss. Dee was a few weeks into a barista job, and the cafe that weekend was chaos.
The boss came in because he heard it was such a shit show, whose first thing to do was yell at me, what the hell is this? And swearing, and physically grabbed me and said, you stand right here and make shots and I will steam. And so he's over the top of me, arms around me and like yelling in my ear, steaming milk over the top of me, physically in my space. I'm so stressed. I'm already on edge. And it was so much.
Fred thinks it can be hard to raise issues in hospitality environments because kitchen hierarchies can reinforce toxic power dynamics.
Can you stir that pot for me, please, yes, chef? Yes. Can you take my knife, chef?
You might have only heard that phrase in TV shows like The Bear, but it's key to the brigade system, a hierarchy that establishes labour division and a chain of command in kitchens.
It's military-like. So when you're in the military, you follow your sergeant.
I'm sorry everyone is in this situation. I really, really am.
That's René Redzepi. A few months ago, he stepped away from his Copenhagen fine dining restaurant Noma, dubbed the world's best, after allegations of physical and psychological abuse from dozens of former workers.
Every time something big happens in the media that is bringing to light some exploitation in hospitality, things get fixed a little bit afterwards.
Dee and Fred reckon that momentum is helping shift the culture.
Some chefs are automatically an asshole because they were trained to be an asshole.
Some changes are being made. In New South Wales last year, new reforms were introduced to make it easier to suspend liquor licences or remove certain people where inappropriate behaviour wasn't appropriately addressed.
That kind of magic when you're cooking, it gives you a sense of wonder.
After a tough ride, Fred feels lucky he's able to set the tone at his own restaurant.
The language and the behaviour. I don't call my team staff, I call them team. We got each other's back.
Hack on Triple J.
Ariana Lucente reporting there. And look, so many similar stories coming through on the text line now, also on Hack's Instagram. Bree saying yes. All of this, especially pub culture, left the industry after some awful experiences, Bree saying. Maya saying, I worked in hospitality and it was genuinely so hellish that I feel too scared to go back to anything but barista work. I think about my time as a waitress and I feel traumatised. Verbal abuse, constant harassment from other staff and customers, as well as unbelievably long shifts in environments that felt like everything was life or death. And Sean saying, every kitchen I ever worked in was an absolute nightmare. You couldn't get away with 1% of what most chefs and owners do to their staff in other industries. Yeah, there's some really, really intense stuff that we're hearing. I want to check in with a union perspective now, because obviously a lot of young workers might be a member of a union, might be seeking support from that avenue. And with us is Tim Kennedy. He's the National Secretary of the United Workers Union. G'day, Tim. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, we know your union's actually done some research in the past on the mistreatment of hospo workers. What has it found? Like, is this as widespread as we're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, our research was a number of years ago, but I have to say that nothing much has changed. What we have in Australia is a normalisation of exploitation of Australian young people, especially in their first jobs, and it creates a situation where stress and abuse is seen too much as a rite of passage in this country, and a lot increasingly is through harassment and sexual harassment at work and bullying. And that happens too often. And we all have experiences of it ourselves when we were growing up, that people are told, well, this is a rite of passage to work in Australia. You've got to suck it up. And we think it's a product, we would say, of the embedding in our country of inequality.
Yeah, I mean, and we're hearing now from those who work in hospo who say it doesn't really matter if you're working in a really high-end place, a fancy restaurant, or if it's a cafe or a small bar. Like, people are copying this in all kinds of venues. I mean, what would the union like to see to tackle this problem?
What we've found is it's quite diverse where it can occur, and a lot of it hinges on what type of employer you happen or lucky to meet. And what we've said for a long time is that we do know, and we have evidence for this because we organise in this area, is that where you have active unions and workplaces and where employers acknowledge that it is legitimate human right to be part of a union, we have safer workplaces and we have workplaces where people paid appropriately. I would like to be able to say to you there is a legislative response to this. There are good laws on the books, but when you have a normative view in this society is that you can exploit into your court, it's an ongoing problem. So we do need to kind of have a collective change of thought about these things, about what is normal, what is acceptable, and how do we actually understand that unless you treat people with dignity and respect, you'll have growing inequality and you'll have a repetition of exploitation from one generation to the next.
Well, look, thank you very much for coming on and having a chat with us. Tim Kennedy from the United Workers Union, appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you.
And yeah, look, still so many messages coming through on this. Someone saying, hospitality work gave me a level of work trauma I cannot forget. The stress-induced eczema, anxiety attacks, micromanagement, it was horrendous. another person asking, didn't one big celebrity TV chef basically get famous for verbally abusing people on television? Yeah, well, look, it's definitely something that's been around for a while. Let's get another take on all of this with someone who was in hospo but now works on the other side as an employee counsellor. Dariel Bowne is from Wanderlust Hospitality and she's with us right now. Dariel, thank you so much for joining us on Hack.
Thank you so much for having me and giving light to this. I feel like conversations about this are important.
Yeah, we're hearing some really hectic stories from hospo workers. And I mean, you're someone who started off in hospo yourself, so I'm guessing it's probably not too surprising to hear these things.
Oh, unfortunately not. Unfortunately, it's not too surprising. My experience in the industry, there were high highs and low lows. And I think the industry is fun and exciting and dynamic and no 2 days are the same. You're constantly kept on your toes and that's exciting and fun. But there are parts of it that are a lot lower and are not really conducive for like a healthy lifestyle. But yeah, even myself, I was unfortunately, I was exposed to a lot of like mistreatment by employers, even, you know, experienced sexual harassment and sexual assault from a manager I was working with. So I've hit a lot of the lows in the industry and I'm now super passionate about creating environments in which people feel safe enough to speak about the stuff that's really tough in the industry.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a really positive thing that you're able to do that and go into workplaces and talk through a lot of this stuff and get to the heart of what is often going on and the dynamics at play. I mean, it does feel like a lot of good workers are abandoning hospo just because they can't put up with this stuff, which is fair enough. Do you feel, though, that workers are getting a bit more comfortable in coming forward and speaking up about some of the abuse and harassment they're copying?
100%. And I think there's been some people that have kind of led the way with this. We're getting a younger generation of people coming through the industry that are a lot more like staunch and strong in their voices, which is such a beautiful thing. And they're feeling a lot more comfortable speaking up when something doesn't feel right or when they've been mistreated or something horrible has happened. And so, I mean, the younger generation are definitely pushing this movement towards it being okay to speak up. But I think it's just also being televised, it's being broadcasted enough for people to understand that there are now consequences to really unethical business practices and not treating people right. And I think that's giving people a sense of safety to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's like TV shows as well that really display the kind of atmosphere, the environment people are working in, and some people say that's romanticising it. Other people are saying, no, it's a really kind of realistic view of what's happening, and maybe that is also helping people understand, you know, what is normal, what is not normal. Hearing so many of your stories, someone saying, I have a deep-rooted fear of bosses because of a job I did in my formative years. Sexual harassment was totally normalised. Another person saying, yeah, I was harassed by a co-worker who was a friend of the boss, reported the harassment, and the boss cut my hours because I wasn't smiling enough. So some really horrible stuff we're hearing, Dario. I mean, on a more positive side, have you seen workplace cultures turn around dramatically? Like some of the places that you've been able to work with, have you been able to sort out some pretty hectic issues?
I think so. I think just the mere fact that hospitality owners and operators are prioritising their staff's well-being by employing me and getting me involved in supporting their people. You know, EAP is something that is utilised in so many other industries. I mean, I'm sure, you know, ABC and everything has government organisations have access to EAP. Other industries do as well, but hospitality has never really had access to it. And so, you know, a lot of owners and operators now even know what EAP stands for, which is a great thing. But no, there's definitely some progressive, more forward-thinking, game-changing business owners and operators out there that are trying to do better by their people, by educating them, getting programs like this involved in their workplaces, and just like treating their humans like humans and remembering that they are in fact humans and not machines that can constantly be smiling but working through insane amounts of stress.
And also like from a financial point of view as well, you would think like obviously you want to be creating a safe workspace for everyone, but from a very like business point of view, if you're treating your staff well, they're going to be doing a really good job. And I know like some of the employers that you've been speaking with, Dariel, have made that point that it's an important part of all this is to make sure that we are treating our staff well. So they do want to work here and they do want to do a really good job.
I think, yeah, like at a bare minimum, you know, just treat your staff kindly. I think that should be a base standard for any sort of workplace. But unfortunately, yeah, the culture in the industry the bar has been so low for so long when it comes to treatment of staff and what they've had to put up with over the years, that we've got a long way to go. Yes, there's been progress, but that bar is still a little bit lower than I would say other industries, and it's still got a way to go.
Well, look, thank you very much for joining us and having a chat. Dariel Bowne, EAP Counsellor, owner of Wanderlust Hospitality, really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Yeah, had a big response to that story this week, and lots of you shared your own experiences of toxic hospitality culture. It is a topic that we're going to stay across in the future. And a reminder, if you liked that story, if you like the long listens that we do every week, please subscribe to this podcast. We're going to bring you more big interviews, more deep dives every single week. I'll catch you next time.